Genesis chapter 2, we'll read there in just a moment. But there is a principle that you come across when you try to interpret the Bible rightly and rightly divide the word of truth. There are certain principles that need to be noticed and adhered to. And of course, the principle here is the law of recurrence. It also is a mark of inspiration. Now, when we say the law of recurrence, we mean the Spirit of God in giving the word of God had a practice of briefly giving a series of statements and facts and truths. And then from that basic statement or fact or truth, he would expand upon that and enlarge upon that to where you would get more understanding and more understanding and more understanding about it. Now that happens in Genesis chapter 2 with the 6 days of creation that were already given in Genesis chapter 1. Now we won't read this tonight because we'll read it next Wednesday night. But verses 4 through 25 talk more about creation. So he's already discussed it in chapter 1, and now he's going to give more detail beginning in chapter 4 down through verse 25. That's a pretty common theme of things are interpreted often like that in the Bible. You see the same principle in the book of Deuteronomy with the interpretation of the law. 40 years after of experience with it in the wilderness when it was given earlier, and then through the book of Deuteronomy, you see a lot of it interpreted. But in Genesis 2, it opens with a day of rest. Look at verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. So it says they're finished, but beginning in verse 4, he'll go into more detail. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his works which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that he had rested from all of his work which God created and made. Now, that opens with that. There'll be more facts about creation that we'll talk about next week, a little bit more anyway. But here he speaks of this day of rest. Now, we call it the Sabbath. What does it mean when it says that God rested from his work? Did God get tired? Does God get tired like you and I get tired? God didn't get tired, so that's not why he rested. Did he sit down to rest on the seventh day and he said, man, this has been a long week. I've worked more than 40 hours. I need a break. Well, God didn't do that. When he finished the creation, he looked upon it and he saw that the Bible says was very good and there was nothing else to do. His work of creation was complete. And then he rested on the seventh day. Now, if you would take your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. When we think of the Sabbath, at least in my concordance anyway, Exodus 16 is the first time where I found the word Sabbath to be used, verse 22. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that ye which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the Sabbath day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Now, God had provided for Israel day by day. They'd go out there, and on, you know, Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, they'd gather. Friday would come along, and they'd gather twice as much, and they'd have it for Friday and also for the Sabbath day on Saturday. So they got 2 days on Friday. Now, the Sabbath, if you notice, was given to Israel before the formal giving of the law. It was given to God specifically to Israel. Now, I'm going to mention some of these things tonight for this reason. Seventh-day Adventists, which there are several Seventh-day Adventist churches in our area, teach that men kept the Sabbath from the day of Adam and onward. While it's possible, I suppose, you can't really prove that from the Bible, that you can't. Exodus 31, if you'll go ahead to that, verses 12 through 18, and they really make it. I can say an awful lot about Seventh-day Adventism tonight, but I'm not going to do that. But here in Exodus 31, verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. This is for Israel. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Man, that's serious. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. You notice again it said the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Now it says that the Sabbath was a special sign between God and Israel. If mankind in general had been given the Sabbath following creation, it would not have been a sign just for Israel. It would have been a sign for everybody. So the Sabbath, the strict Sabbath in the strict sense, was given for the nation of Israel, as Exodus 31:16 seems to say. Now, this really has not been given to any other people. So it explains why the prophets say that Israel will keep the Sabbath even after the kingdom of God Christ is established on earth. Exodus 66 says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And it also explains why Jesus mentioned the Sabbath in his prophecies of the tribulation in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 20, which also deal with the nation of Israel. Now, in writing to the churches, the apostles mentioned the Sabbath only 3 times. First of all, it's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 4, where we read, it is a symbol of salvation, rest in Christ. Did you notice how many times when you read Hebrews 4, the word rest came up? Some people really like the word rest, and they really like to rest, okay? But this has to do with a spiritual rest, as in our salvation, that we rest in Christ. It's a spiritual rest. It's a salvation rest. I was talking to Chris Zinner, and I talked to somebody earlier today who just struggles to rest spiritually. In fact, he was telling me this election has got him so anxious, he's so nervous that Hillary Clinton's going to win the election, he cannot sleep. Now that's, and I said, I just preached 3 sermons. God is greater than my enemies, God is greater than my fears, and God is greater than my circumstances. I says, I'll get you the tapes and you can listen to them. So I'll have to get those, Jerry. But anyway, we should rest in Christ. Once we're saved, we're on the winning team. Now there may be a battle to fight. There's probably several battles to fight between now and then. Then meaning when we're actually in the presence of the Lord. But we're on the winning side. So the first, one of the times Sabbath is mentioned, the first one that I'll mention in Hebrews 4, it's a symbol of salvation, rest in Christ. Secondly, the New Testament believers are not bound to keep the Sabbath. We are not bound to keep the Sabbath. Look at Leviticus chapter 23 just for a minute. There's an interesting prophecy, I guess you might say here, Leviticus 23, verse 11, although it is literal. Leviticus 23, 11, and he shall wave a sheaf before the Lord, that has to do with the sheaf offering, to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So the Sabbath was Saturday, but this thing was done the morrow after the Sabbath, which would be Sunday. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and the lamb, and a he-lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. The meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And ye shall count upon your from the morrow after the Sabbath, and from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. 7 times 7 is what? Okay. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Obviously, that's a reference to Pentecost and the Feast of Pentecost. Now go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which goes contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or in the new moon or of the Sabbath days. So we're not to necessarily worship on the Sabbath day. That's the second time it's mentioned. Believers are not bound to keep the Sabbath. Although you get into an argument with a Seventh-day Adventist, and they're going to tell you that we are bound to keep the Sabbath. Thirdly, the New Testament believer has liberty in the matter of holy days. Romans chapter 14 deals with that. You want to worship on one day or whatever. But those who teach that Sabbath is binding upon Christians are contradicting what the apostles taught. Well, Pastor, did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Yes, he did. Well, then why did he keep the Sabbath? Because he was a Jew. He kept all of the feasts because he was Jew. Now, I have a lot of points that I'm going to mention right now, and I guess for sake of time, I'm just going to have to mention them quickly. But as New Testament Christians, we worship on the first day of the week. Now, if God were to kill New Testament Christians because they broke the Lord's Day, the churches would shrink. Trust me on that, okay? I think we should have a day set aside for rest and relaxation, although most of the study that I've done on the Sabbath said it was you refrained from your normal occupation, but it wasn't that you refrained, but it says here that they didn't work. If you go to Israel, they have some strange laws on the Sabbath. Like if you're in a hotel, it'll stop at every floor so you don't have to push a button. I mean, you know, seriously, is that a lot of work? If I want to go from 1 to 6, I don't want to stop at every floor and watch a door open and close. But anyway, that's what they do. They have it already set up so when you get there, it'll stop at every floor. But we worship on the Lord's Day. And I think Christians ought to honor the Lord's Day and respect the Lord's Day with some of the same respect that the Jews did the Sabbath. But there is a lot of evidence, and I mean a lot of evidence, about why we worship on the first day of the week. Let me give you a whole bunch of them. Just listen. First of all, on the first day, Jesus rose from the dead. On the first day, secondly, Jesus appeared to his disciples. That's when they saw him. Thirdly, on the first day, Jesus met the disciples at different places and repeatedly, and I got tons of references for all these, but he often met with them on the first day. On the first day, Jesus blessed the disciples, John 20. On the first day, Jesus imparted to the disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit. On the first day, Jesus commissioned the disciples to preach the gospel to all the world. On the first day, Jesus ascended to heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father and was made head of all things, Ephesians 1:20. On the first day, many of the dead saints arose from the grave. The first day became the day of joy and rejoicing to the disciples. On the first day, the gospel of the risen Christ was preached. On the first day, Jesus explained the scriptures to the disciples. On the first day, the purchase of our redemption was completed. He rose on the first day. On the first day, the Holy Spirit descended. Pentecost was on the fifth day after the Sabbath, following the wave offering of the sheaf offering. Thus, Pentecost was always on a Sunday, the day after the Sabbath, or tomorrow after the Sabbath. 14th, the Christians meet to worship on the first day. And there's several references that. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I think it is, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints. And it talks about when you are gathered together on the first day. Well, where do we take a collection on the first day? We don't do it at my house. We've tried, it don't pan out so well. But anyway, it's in church. It's where we assemble together on the first day. Sunday is the Lord's Day, and we meet together to worship on the Lord's Day. Now, since the day of Christ, the vast majority of Christians have always met to worship on the Lord's Day. They do this in honor of Christ's resurrection. He was in the tomb during the Sabbath, and he rose as the firstborn from the dead on the first day. The Sabbath signifies the last day of the old creation, Genesis 2:2, and Sunday is the first day of the new creation. Now, there's a lot more that you can say about the Sabbath. You can go back and show where some of the Old Testament offerings and different things pointed to the time when New Testament Christians would worship on the Lord's Day. I've said this before. I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm not an Old Testament Sabbath keeper. Now, I will say this, though. If you were to write a book why people miss church on Sunday and kept track of all the reasons why, you'd hear some pretty bizarre stuff. In fact, I heard one, you know what, it's amazing, it's so bizarre I can't remember it. But anyway, it was about a month ago. And I'm like, well, okay. But that's why they couldn't come to church. Then somebody put something in an article once. I wish I would have saved it. Maybe I didn't, can't find it. But the guy says, well, I'm going to be in church Sunday every chance I get. And he realized that there would be two Sundays a year for family get-togethers, like reunions. Then there would be Christmas that he couldn't make, and Easter, which is a family thing. And anyways, there's vacation, and there was this and this, and it was all said and done. He had two or three Sundays left that he'd be able to be in church if nothing interfered with him, was how the article ended. That's a sad way for people to live. Now, most of you that are here tonight are here pretty much every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But that's not the majority of Christians today. And so if you go back to the Old Testament Sabbath, and God said, if you break the Sabbath, we'll just kill you or whatever. Yeah, that would put a hurt on the churches. But our percentage of how many people were still members and how many were here, I guarantee you our percentage would be a lot higher than it is. But we don't keep the Sabbath. And the Seventh-day Adventists, I just thought I'd throw that in there tonight. They will tell you that you have to keep the Sabbath. Behind us, if you go through New London and over to Churchville, there's that weird four corners. There's a Seventh-day Baptist church there. Now, there are very few Seventh-day Baptist churches, but they are Sabbath keepers. They worship on the Sabbath. Some of them come out and play volleyball with us on Monday. We've never had a debate with them here. On it, but either their church or the Seventh-day Adventist church up in Vianna or somebody, Every so often I get a letter. While we're wrong to have church on Sunday, and while we ought to have it on the Sabbath. The reason I don't know who it comes from, it's never signed and it never has a return address on it. But sometimes it'll be printed articles. Sometimes it'll be a handwritten letter. I used to read them, but not so much anymore. But anyway, because I've heard most all their arguments, so it's like, okay. But you know what? You may run across one of them Seventh-day Adventists, and they may try to convince you. And I said, well, Jesus rose on the first day of the week. It was good enough for the apostles. That's good enough for me. Have a nice, if you want to worship on Saturday, have a nice time. Not going to argue with them, but that's be about it. Anyway, Father, you did establish a day of rest. And I suppose it would do everybody here good to take the Lord's Day, Sunday, and for the most part, make it a day of rest. There has always been work of necessity. Jesus talked about a situation where an ox was in the ditch. But I don't think we ought to put our ox in the ditch. And I don't think we ought to plan necessarily to have to be swamped down on Sundays. We ought to set that day aside to worship and to rest, to relax, and to just enjoy the goodness of the Lord. But help us as we come across those who are insistent about Sabbath worship to be kind to them, but to not fall for it as a means of salvation, which would mean works. So Lord, protect us from these particular doctrines as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got some missionary letters from some missionaries that we haven't heard from recently. Now, I'm not sure how I did this, if I missed one or not, but I've got two from the Rhodes, and they both are dated October 2016, and they're different. So maybe he's just writing missionary letters like crazy. But anyway, we'll skip that for now. We'll go to the Richards in Germany, who we haven't heard from in a while. They said, family camp, once again, God blessed us with a great week of our annual family camp. Excuse me. This camp has continued to grow over the years and has become not only a great time of renewal for our church members, but also a great time of fellowship with other churches and missionaries from around Europe. Thank you all for your prayers and encouragement. We not only saw God's hand at work in the preaching and fellowship, but during the whole week, the valley we were in was the only place in Central Europe that did not rain. We thank God for his blessings. Missions Week, following our camp, we were once again fortunate to have the opportunity for our family camp guest speaker, Pastor whoever from Van Born Baptist Church, to remain with us in Muskegon to preach the first Sunday of our annual Missions Week. As a church founded by a missionary, our people have been able to see the benefits of missions in a way not everybody is blessed to. But the greater blessing has been their desire to also be faithful in the Great Commission and support missionaries going out to other countries as well. Two people saved. We have also been fortunate to see the salvation of a number of people over the past few months. As much of a blessing it has been to witness God at work here in Germany, the great encouragement to me beyond the salvation of two souls that were on the path to hell was that it has been through the efforts of the young people in the church that God was able to reach these lost ones. What a blessing for both these young adults to not only see friends and family saved, but also to know that they are being faithful in their witness and testimony. Then we had two baptized. In addition to seeing people saved, we are also excited to tell everybody about those who have been saved here in our work following Lord's command and committing themselves to baptism. And then one of those recently baptized was doubly blessed past few months. He was joined to the church through faithfully following the Lord's express command, and he joined a young woman who has been a faithful member here for a long time in holy matrimony. What a blessing it is to see them begin their new life together by making sure that their lost family members and friends heard a clear presentation of the gospel during the ceremony. Events like these, unfortunately, all too often the only place where many lost Germans will ever hear the Bible preached with a clear call to repentance. Thank God for the faithfulness of these two individuals, and please pray for them as they adjust to their new life. And he has a picture of those there. This is from the Hollands going to Norway. Greetings. We hope this letter finds you well and busy serving our great God and faithful in the work that he has called his children to. So, since our last letter, several new churches have agreed to partner with us financially and many more in prayer. God has been good. This brings our current level of financial support to 30 of our total monthly support goal. Our specific prayer goal is to be at 40% by January 2017. Please commit to pray with us that we will be able to reach that goal and others will see the need for gospel preaching churches in Norway and will choose to partner with us. We have completed updating our missionary materials and now have a brand new DVD video presentation. If you or your church would like our new prayer card or would like to view our new video, please let us know via email or phone and we will take the steps to get you these items. God has blessed our efforts to schedule meetings and we are now booked up through the end of 2016. We are currently scheduling meetings for 2017 with early months of the year filling up with meetings. We thank you for your prayers and we endeavor to serve the Lord in our pre-field ministry. We had a refreshing time at our missions agency, which is Advanced Missionary and Chaplain Training Classes. It is always a blessing to learn from veteran missionaries and to fellowship with God's servants from all over the world. We are grateful for a missions agency with a focus on the authority of the local church and helping missionaries stay on the field for many years. So we thank you all for your continued prayer and financial support. We are excited to be in the service of the King, Russell and Beth Holland. Has anybody heard, by the way, how Pat Zandi, Bethany's dad, is doing? I got to try to get an update on him. Let me read one more letter. This is from Brother Wendell Rogers in Rock of Ages. It says, In the sighing of a prisoner came before thee, according to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. Psalm 79:11. When you continue to work in this ministry, you have to ask yourself, why the prisoner? Why would the Lord hear their sighing? We trust the word of God to reach that man that is in such need. It is oftentimes the man who is defeated in spirit and broken in heart that the word of God does the most work in his heart. It is our desire to see these men saved and the word of God to bring forth fruit in their heart. The Bible studies are so important. We are very happy about the work of the Lord as the Rock of Ages discipleship ministry continues to see fruit from those who complete lessons and receive Bibles. A certain number of lessons must be completed to receive a Bible. In Ohio alone, there were 2,590 lessons completed and graded with certificates and over 300 Bibles given through August of this year. More Bibles were given to county community corrections facilities, county justice centers, juvenile justice centers that we visit. We were able to take to these facilities our Bibles with special covers. This summer, we have traveled about 1,200 miles every 2 weeks to church and prison meetings. This really adds up over 3 months. Our 39th annual Rock of Ages conference was held the first week in August in Murfreesboro at the Franklin Road Baptist Church. Virginia and I, that's his wife, both enjoyed good preaching. Psalm 119 says, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth, a blessing to our soul. Recently in our travel, we have gone to prisons, missions conference, missions dinners, speaking at a men's day, visiting Massillon Baptist College alumni meetings in Pennsylvania. We just returned from helping with the Rock of Ages South Carolina Blitz. We had a wonderful time. With a total of 10 teams, we covered 11 facilities. Had a total of 1,569 people in attendance, 210 professions of faith. Men and women were given the gospel with the opportunity to receive Christ and trust him to be saved. We were personally able to visit 3 full days in the prisons, going cell to cell, door to door, dorm to dorm, and preaching every day. Our team had a total of 222 in attendance those 3 days with 6 different services. It is in September each year. Mark your calendar, 2017, and come. Come with us. You have to get your eyes open to this and let the Lord deal with your heart. We have men who are being released soon who have diligently completed many Bible study lessons. Please pray for them and for us as we are helping these men. Thank you for helping us. Thank you so very, very much. We have a busy October and November scheduled. We need to visit new churches as we keep up our prison schedule. Please continue to pray for us, Brother Wendell and Virginia's wife. They're doing a good job in the prisons.